Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This from TBR on Twitter. He writes, RG4 and Kevin Sheehan's 89th rated receiver in the NFL will not play this week. Good one, TBR. That made me laugh out loud. 89th rated receiver. Not exactly. A bit of an exaggeration. For sure. This segment of the show is brought to you by Paramount. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 4 matchup between Washington and Atlanta. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Ben Standing is with us, as he is every Friday in this spot. Substack, Last Man Standing. Last Man Standing is the name of his podcast as well. You can follow him on X on Twitter at Ben Standing. So give us the update. Saw that you tweeted out the players that were missing from the open portion of the practice. What do you think that will foretell?
Yeah, well, we haven't seen Terry McLaurin all week, so I think it's pretty confident to say he's out. We haven't seen Noah Brown or John Bates, and they, of course, missed last week, so I would assume they're out. And then as far as the main attraction, Jaden Daniels, he wasn't out there today, which when we were there, which doesn't mean he won't come later. That's what happened last Friday. He came out and was a limited participant. He's been limited so far this week. Unless Dan Quinn walks into the media room in the next, you know, when he comes in 20 minutes or so and just says, boy, you know what, I haven't seen Jaden look this good in a while, I'd be stunned if he's going to play at this point. I shouldn't say stunned, but I would be surprised. You know, I mean, Jaden clearly wants to push it. He at least has been out there the last few days, unlike some of these other guys, and we've seen him moving around. But, you know, it just doesn't seem like he's all the way ready to go. And the, they've clearly are not, they shouldn't, and I don't think they would, throw him out there if he's not ready to go. On top of the fact that, you know, they are looking like they're going to be very shorthanded. I'm not saying you wouldn't hold him back because of that, but it doesn't help the cause if, you know, they're going to be missing a lot of pieces to boot.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense, and that's kind of where I've been all week and all morning for sure. I think just the fact that, I mean, the idea that he'd be limited Wednesday, Thursday, and be a full go on Friday seemed like a stretch. And if he's not a full go today, he's not playing. Like you said, if Quinn comes out and says, whoa, once we close the doors, you should have seen how good he looked. He was a full participant. And by the way, if he did that, I think he should say and probably would say it'll be a game time decision.
Right, right. I mean, it was almost a little surprising last week, just purely from a gamesmanship perspective, that Quinn called it as early as he did on Friday. But yes, I mean, I would imagine that, yes, no matter, even in the best case scenario, it's probably a we'll see where we are on Sunday. But, you know, again, it just seems unlikely based on where things are right now. I would imagine we'll see Mariota. But again, Quinn will talk to us about 20 minutes and we'll see if we get a more definitive update.
So let's just go with he's not going to play Sunday. Last week we learned he really wasn't ever close to playing. Do you think we'll learn this week that he was close to playing, or are we going to go through this again next week?
I think, you know, from what we can see, there's been at least some progress made. I mean, in the sense that, like, he was out there the first 2 days of this week limited, whereas last week he didn't go out on the field until the final day. So I guess you could argue that's progress. It really, you know, all the stuff that we see is more anecdotal. It really comes down to, you know, how does he feel when he's having to, you know, push off on the leg, on the knee, you know, cutting, things along those lines. He's saying he's fine, but of course he's going to say that. So, you know, it won't stun me if we are kind of in limbo going into, you know, coming into Monday of next week. And, you know, for no other reason, again, Dan Quinn might as well, you know, be as vague as possible from a competitive standpoint if he can. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I the moment I'm just not feeling that Jaden is close enough to say he's close enough to play, if that makes sense. So,
yeah, no, I'm with you.
I kind of feel like we'll be waiting a bit more. But like I said, at least to a degree that he's been out there, it, you know, has me a little encouraged, just in terms of where he's at longer term, but not necessarily for this week.
What about Bill? What about Kroski Merritt, who's missed 2 days of practice this week?
Yeah, you know, yesterday he was out there in full pads, but ultimately didn't practice. We saw him out here today, but they were doing like special teams work when we were out there, so he was with a lot of guys just sort of watching. I think there's a, you know, my sense is there's a chance he does practice today and therefore could be available for Sunday, but, you know, again, you know, he's already been banged up a couple times now in his very short career, including back in the preseason. So, you know, if they decide to hold him out, you know, that's not going to be surprising. And even if he did play, you know, you would have to think maybe he's a little more limited. But, you know, we'll see. They, you know, missing 2 days in a row of practice with a knee doesn't seem like a great way to head into a week. And even if they say he practices in full today, whatever that means, a Friday practice is I won't say it's a walkthrough, but it's more akin to that than it is what you're perceiving as like a full-blown practice. They're not going to be out there for terribly long today, et cetera. So, you know, this is not really in my view, a layman's view, not a true full test. But, you know, obviously if it's a pain issue or just the training staff feeling comfortable, you know, I could see him potentially getting the go-ahead. And, you know, I was told earlier in the week, this is not considered to be a big deal. That's not the same as saying he would play, but in terms of you hear knee and you get, oh boy, how concerning is this? I think it's just some soreness. So we'll have to see how comfortable they would be. And, you know, like all the other spots, if somehow he doesn't play, you know, you were really getting into like crazy thin territory as to who would be stepping in. And same thing at receiver, obviously.
Yeah. One of the things I was thinking about is that even if all the backs were healthy, Jeremy McNichols might be in there a lot more this week. Atlanta's like top five, top six, something like that in blitz rate. And they clearly feel more comfortable with him in pass pro. And then after the performance last week, who knows? All right. I'll ask you the question that I asked callers for about two or three segments. 3 weeks ago, if I'd said they're going to play a game without their two best players, Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin, the confidence level in them winning that game against a, you know, a medium level talent wise would have been pretty low. Where is it now?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, it's still pretty low. You know, look, the defense has obviously played well in two of the last three games, and, you know, they are going to be now, they already lost Dietrich Wise, now Will Harris is on IR. You know, looks like beyond that, they should be in pretty good health, and if the defense is legit, I mean, by the numbers, they've been very good so far this year as a pass rushers, even stopping the run. They're up to 12th after a dismal year last year, but of course, they've played a couple of really poor opponents in the Raiders and the Giants, so that's why it's hard to tell. But the Atlanta didn't score last week against Carolina and got whooped. You know, they've got their own offensive concerns with Michael Penix, the young quarterback, still learning. So if Washington's defense is legit, if they look like the team that they did in those, you know, two of those first three games, then they could come out and win this game. You know, of all the offense, you know, as a viable partner, not turning the ball over, things like that. But if it's left to the offense to have to figure this out, I mean, look, the offense did way better last week than I would have assumed, considering the pieces they were missing. But now you're tacking on Terry McLaurin on top of no Jaden, perhaps no John Bates, no Noah Brown. You know, we're talking about how much could a Ja'Cory Brooks coming off the practice squad play, right? And that's not a crazy question. Like, that's where we're at with this group. So it's hard to see how the offense is going to lead the way. But if the defense does, if the defense shows up, then yeah, I think they could still go in there and win. But it's just, without Jaden Terry, the margin of error is just incredibly thin.
Yeah. They'd really have to keep ahead of the chains and not be in passing situations with the receivers they might put out on the field against a team that loves to get after the quarterback and play man coverage behind it. We're talking, of course, to Ben Standing. So, I don't know, it was Tuesday or Wednesday this week. Max and I did a segment. We took calls on the top three players through the first 3 weeks. And my number one was Dorrance Armstrong. And I've talked a lot about his versatility, where he lines up all over the place, his effectiveness, certainly as a pass rusher. He's dropped in coverage a little bit. And then I just saw before you came on that you just wrote about him yesterday. So you've got some really good numbers on Dorrance Armstrong. Share them.
Yeah, look, as an individual, he's off to a great start. According to Next Gen Stats, he leads defensive linemen in pass rush pressures with 18 and pressure rate at 25% of his rushes to, you know, being effective in that regard. Accordingly, Washington as a whole is first in the league in pass rush percentage, and I think they're third in sacks. He's got, you know, one sack in every single game. He's been relentless. I always think sacks, you know, can sometimes be an overrated stat in that you can have one sack and be kind of invisible on the other plays, but it looks like you're doing something. But that's not the case here. He's being a presence all the time. But I think what's intriguing about this is, go back to the playoffs last year. This isn't just about these three games.
Exactly.
In the playoffs last year, he had 3.5 sacks. So in his last six games, 6.5 sacks, that's more than he had the entire regular season last year. And, you know, I talked to him this week, and he said, hey, you know, really, I was getting there. I just wasn't finishing the plays. And we've heard that, you know, I remember we heard that a lot about in the Montez Sweat, Chase Young days. You know, the pressures might be there, but they weren't getting the sacks. And Armstrong is delivering on that. And I think the other part that's interesting here is, you know, we spent an inordinate amount of time this offseason discussing, hey, this team needs to get more pass rushing, you know, trade for Trey Hendrickson, draft somebody in the first round, you know, whatever. And obviously they didn't really do any of that. Now, it's not to say that Dorrance Armstrong is Micah Parsons or Myles Garrett or any of those guys, but it is to say I think they have more belief in his potential than, you know, maybe collectively we all did. He's not a household name. He's not a guy who's mentioned in Pro Bowls. But, you know, in Dallas, he had, you know, 7-8 sack seasons playing part-time. He started more games last year than he did in his entire 6 years with Dallas. So,
yeah.
So I think the staff saw more of the potential than, you know, at least from a pass rush perspective, than, you know, probably the collective public conversation was about it. And, you know, so far, that's paying off. And, you know, and look, give credit to, you know, he's feeding off of what Payne and Kinlaw are doing inside. Again, the defense as a whole has been looking good, but a lot of it has to do with him and his ability to not just rush the passer, but play all over the place. So depending on the line, on who's in there, he can adjust, and that, you know, allows other guys to be more comfortable with what they're doing while he's still pretty effective no matter where he is.
Yeah, Ben had some really good information on Armstrong's versatility in terms of where he lines up through three games anyway in his Substack column. All right, let's just assume that it's Mariota and no Terry and no Bates and no Noah Brown. How do they beat the Falcons? And then what's your prediction?
Oh, boy. Well, look, I mean, in two of these three games, they've run for at least 200 yards. Needless to say, that would have to be a huge key. Of course, we don't even know if Bill would play, and if he does, you know, how much he would play. Chris Rodriguez and McNichols, at least, you know, they were effective last week for sure. And, you know, I think Rodriguez's toughness inside, I think, is an element that helped him out. And I would imagine they would lean on those guys. Mariota, obviously, will move. We'll be on the move as well. Debo Samuel is their best playmaker, based on the current group, and Zach Ertz has been effective. But ultimately, I really think it's going to probably come down to the defense, that the defense, you know, has to keep Michael Penix in this state of, you know, uncertainty that he seemed to be showing last week with in that game against Carolina. He throws a pick six. You know, his numbers just have not been there. Atlanta has plenty of weapons. Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Darnell Mooney. Their pass rush is pretty good. Their defense statistically has been really on point this year, but the offense has just been a mess. So, you know, for Washington to win, I think their defense just has to be on point. Offense can't commit any turnovers. And like you said, they've got to stay ahead of the chains. You know, the fact that Atlanta is coming off a disaster game and Washington has all the injuries, it kind of makes me want to lean towards saying the Falcons win something like, you know, 17-16. But, you know, we'll find out, you know, Sunday afternoon if Atlanta is just completely reeling. They are clearly a desperate team. They fired their wide receiver coach. They're moving their play caller from the booth to the sideline. They are feeling like they got to do something, and I get it. Like, their entire staff is on the verge of, you know, getting fired if they don't turn this thing around. So there's desperation there. Sometimes that leads to success. Sometimes that leads to panic. But, you know, all things considered, I would guess Atlanta wins if Washington is this shorthanded, but I'm not going to doubt Washington's resolve regardless of who's out there.
Okay. A little bit of hedge there. let us follow Ben on X on Twitter, and you'll get the update. We're going to try to carry Quinn when he talks, probably, what, in about 5 or 10 minutes?
Something like that. I see PR is already standing over my shoulder here waiting, so I think I'll be coming here shortly.
Thanks. I'll talk to you this weekend.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. I would imagine we'll get some information on the quarterback situation, and I'm guessing he's going to rule Terry out when he speaks. So we'll carry that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.